Right. Welcome back to the High Kind Premium. It's me, Huntley, with Andy and David. Got two interesting news topics and one that's just kind of fucking gnarly. And then we got a couple of emails that we were going to read. And no hate mail this week. These were actually sincere questions. And I only picked two because I picked two. We got two that were just kind of open-ended that I feel like we could probably talk about for a good chunk of time. But our last episode, we were talking about the Icelandic elves and just elves in general. And we talked mechanical elves came in there. And a lot of people, you know, relate mechanical elves with DMT. Like the first time I really remember is Terrence McKinnon talking about it.
Yeah.
But on DMT, a recent survey, and this is from Big Thing, provides some of the most detailed information about these encounters to date. Published by the Journal of Psychopharmacology, the survey includes responses from 2,561 adults about their single most memorable encounter with beings or beings after smoking or vaporizing DMT. Most respondents had used DMT about a dozen times in their life. And this sounds like our kind of crowd. We need to find these people. The survey excluded experiences which people consumed other drugs with DMT, and it did not include experiences like ayahuasca. So we're just talking straight DMT.
Gotcha.
And these are some statistics. The encounters produce of an emotional response for 99% of the people. The most common emotions were joy, trust, surprise, and love and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And then 81% felt that their encounters were more real than reality.
Yep. It's a common trend with the astral realm and astral projection is it looks it's like going from standard definition TV to high definition TV, basically, or like the black and white versus color analogy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
One respondent wrote that there was an indescribably powerful notion that this dimension, which the entity and I convene, was infinitely more real than the consensus reality I usually inhabit. It felt truer than anything I had ever experienced. Now, most people describe these beings as 60% as spirit guides, 43% as spirits, just spirits, a 39% alien, and 39% helper.
That's all good so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Any information on people that had bad trips?
No, this was mostly one. But most of them believe that these were angels, elves, or religious, or a plant spirit.
Oh, that's cool.
Others report from 1% to 5% reported the term gnome, monster, and deceased person.
So that's another thing I've often heard is like people referring to them as ancestors in certain religions and stuff, you know, like, which makes you, it's kind of interesting because, I mean, in a way, I guess they definitely could be. If you think about like the, if you look at it mythologically, all the hybrid programs and stuff, like humans could just be this hodgepodge of genetics from different beings from different realms. You don't know.
I was actually thinking about that like the other, like a week or two ago. It's like, what if all of this spirituality and religion stuff that we've been doing forever is just like our interpretation of genetic memory?
I think it's all the source of it. I think that's part of it. Like, I think it's all linked together. I don't think there is the separations, the divisions we see in reality. I think we're just looking at different perceptions of the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's one way you could view it, right? That's one structure. You could also view it through math. You could view it through physics. You could view it through a story structure like I do. You know, like there's so many ways. Genetics, I think, are just as fascinating of an example of the laws of the universe, you know. And yeah, it's pretty, I mean, those numbers are really good too as far as like
this
how people view do them.
This is the interesting one that picked, like, grabbed me. But most said these beings were not hallucinations. About three quarters of respondents said they believe the being was real, but it exists in a different dimension or reality. And only 9% said that the being existed completely within themselves. And most describe the beings as benevolent, intelligent, sacred, and positively judgmental, and fewer reported as them being judgmental or malicious.
My interpersonal interactions with entities, I haven't had any through psychedelics. I've had it through meditation and transcendental meditation and things like that. And yeah, you can always tell, like, whatever it is, there's some kind of ingrained mechanism inside you to know that that's not part of me. Like that, like, because communication is telepathic, right? It's intention and impression in those realms. And you, like, you know, like, you can just automatically tell that these thoughts that suddenly appear in your mind aren't from you. It's this weird fucking feeling for me. And I'm just like, okay, cool. But once you get the hang of it, it's actually kind of cool. You're just like, oh, this is a much more efficient way to communicate. I can just send emotion. I can just send complex concepts without having to boil them down to fucking language, which is so hard to do with any ineffable experience. So yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. And most of these people said that they received a message during this encounter, task, purpose, or, you know,
advice.
And most of them said after these encounters, they had lasting changes in their well-beings and belief.
Oh, yeah. The numbers of atheists, like when atheists do DMT and have these experiences and how it, like, shatters their, you know, they have existential crises. They're like, you know, you're bound to.
Yeah.
If you suddenly have this undeniable firsthand experience of something outside of your belief system, you're always going to have an existential crisis. So,
no, I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Yeah. No. Those are really cool.
Yeah. I thought it was an really interesting study. Yeah.
And the hyper-real thing is awesome, too, because that's often this cognition, what we consider awake in a lot of mythologies and religions is considered, sometimes called a waking sleep. Like, it's not, this is not full cognition. No. What would be full cognition is enlightenment. Like, that's actually being conscious. And if you look at it from, look at it from a modern perspective, look at it from psychoanalysis, like Jungian, especially making the unconscious conscious, bringing the dark to light, right? That whole process is about becoming truly conscious, waking the fuck up because you're asleep. That's the whole idea. Yeah. So it makes sense to me that that reality is hyper real from our perception, right?
Yeah.
Because you're actually awake for a brief time and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, that's really cool because the last big DMT study that I'm aware of anyways was from the book, The Spirit Molecule.
Straussman.
Dr. Straussman.
Rick Straussman.
And that was written in 2001. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the last big thing.
They did intramuscular injection on that, which is a longer lasting effect, right? If I remember correct, because they combine
it kicks in instantly. I think it lasts a little bit longer, but it kicks in
very quickly.
Yeah.
Such a good book. Some of the stories are so cool. Like the time dilation thing is there too, because there's one guy that was like, yeah, I was gone for what felt like 1,000 years. And it's like, well, if you basically astral projected, like your perception. Like, because there's a lot of different realms, right? So if you take enough of this, you might get blasted off into one of the higher realms where the time dilation is really, really bad, like 1 to 900 or something, right? Every minute could be 900 minutes there or something, like, right? Mm-hmm. And you have this entire life or something or experience. And it's like that episode on Rick and Morty where they put on that fucking in the arcade and you live that someone else's life, you know? And you come back and you're like, holy shit, where am I?
Yeah.
That would fuck with you so bad. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. And this was on the news. and this comes from the NY Post, but the conspiracies behind it have been interesting. Sperm bank on the moon. Scientists have begun to lay plans for repopulation, starting with a sperm bank on the moon and what they're calling a global insurance policy. Mechanical engineers have proposed that humans establish a repository of reproductive cells, sperm, and ova from 6.7 of the Earth species, including humans. And the proposed bank or ark would be beneath the moon's surface.
Okay.
And then the black goo gets into it.
Yeah, yeah, the black goo gets into it, and it, yeah, and it,
symbiotes.
Yeah, symbiotes. But yeah, the conspiracies I've seen here is that it's already there. They're just confirming it to us, announcing it, or that they are only going to put in the Illuminati's sperm in there.
I was gonna ask, like, what's criteria.
The Q, yeah, the Q's, the cabal, and yeah, I'm sure that like there will be other things happening in the sperm bank, but that was just kind of, I found it interesting, just different conspiracies. Don't want to go over all of them because some of them get ridiculous, but just search. They're pretty entertaining.
I'm going with mine.
Yeah. I also saw, and I didn't write this, but I saw a Japanese sperm bank for people that are embarrassed to masturbate. It has like a little tube where you can just stand at a wall and a little tube will suck the semen right out of you.
Wait, Hold on. Does it actually basically masturbate you or yes. does it just, it, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a violent like airplane toilet violent. Kind of suction where it just like pulls the semen out of the testicle. Just
I watched the video and it was part.
You watched the video.
I did. and like,
oh, where's part, this? How much is the part, plane ticket?
It was part projecting out like a xenomorph's mouth. While circling around and just kind of giving, just twisting around, and there was all sorts of ribbed things in the tube. So I don't see many guys lasting long in that fucker, unless they have some serious performance anxiety. Just my take from it. I looked at it and I was just like, that wouldn't be long at all.
I mean, I'm surprised it wasn't like tentacle or something, but
it's like the mecha fleshlight or something.
Yeah, it was like, it was basically a super powered fleshlight.
Leave it to the Japanese.
Probably put it in
a Gundam next.
They'll come up with,
Yeah. All right. So this last one.
Oh, God. So wait. This is the gross one?
Yes, but a pastor has a unique way of healing his congregation.
Oh, no.
Does he jizz on them?
Okay. Hold on. But this is starting to take off on regular news. Like, I saw radio and MSN covered it and a few other people. But I found the original source, and it was from Lipstick Alley, and it was from a member named Fiat Lux. So I want to give them credit for this because it's fucking hilarious. And it goes as, the pastor goes by the name Chris Penelope, a self-proclaimed man of God. Pastor Penelope was photographed sitting on his church member's face and allegedly farting on them. The pastor claims to heal people by farting on their heads and nostrils in order to release the Holy Spirit to its members.
David, you know where I'm going with this.
Oh my God, no.
What was the name of that demon? Belphegor. Mm-hmm. He was the cacodemon.
Yeah.
Scatamancy.
Yeah.
Yep. It just keeps coming back.
And what was that Roman god of flatulence? Hold on.
Yeah, find it. Well, I'll read this. Furthermore, he states that the farts are anointed and instantly perform miracles. Earlier this year, it was reported that dozens of business people were all over the church patiently waiting to receive the holy fart in their mouths so that it could help their business and hopefully they would become rich. They also say long queues are the order of days as people line up to receive their blessings through his anointed carbon monoxide. Some people
methane
wait 2 months queuing for this man to fart on their nostrils so they may start winning tenders again. Most people say they pay a lot to collect the farting aroma on containers to always smell when they attend business meetings.
Oh my God, it's fucking bathwater. Oh
yeah.
No.
But farting. However, a few were shocked by such performance and decided to leave the church as they claimed that was not something they'll ever sign up for. I know a few, but it sounds like a lot of people are lining up for this. And while we were talking for the last show, I was just Googling just to like double check my sources. And because I was just like, this has to be fake. But I found another news article from the Daily Sun, and he had a statement, and I'm just going to read the one statement on you. I don't fart on people. I heal people, he said.
Good of him to clarify on that.
So
he did. Wow. So he is sitting on them. I see a picture right here. I'll post it in the chat after we're done. But yeah, he is literally sitting on a dude. It's a face.
You know, carbon monoxide poisoning is like a real thing, right? I don't think these people know this.
Yeah.
They have more to worry about, like pink eye. It's like an epidemic of pink eye.
Yeah.
Is what we're talking about here. Fecal matter in your eye, ocular cavity is pink eye. And if it's farting on your nose, it's going straight into your eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It is absolutely fucking gross.
I think he's a modern incarnation, like maybe literally, of the Roman god Crepitus, which could just be the demon Belphegor. So maybe this is Belphegor.
Yeah.
Maybe it's him.
I was just like, when I read that, I was just like, oh my God.
It's real.
It's real. But let's do a couple. Yikes. Let's do two emails, and they're both open-ended. So I figured, why not? Hey gang, I'm curious, if you met an alien, what would your first question be?
Who wants to go first?
And this is tough.
Can I take it for a test drive? The UFO, not the alien. Well, actually, depends. It could be.
Depends. I mean, I was about to say,
it depends on the why, what kind why, of alien why, are we talking about?
Why sell yourself short?
Why so? This could be an experience. I could go on a date and drive a spaceship. Yeah. Actually, that would be cool. I would do that. You know, if it's a cute alien lady, I'll be like, yeah, let's go out. Let's go driving. Give me the keys.
I will do a simple one. I would just look around the planet and just look at them and go, why?
I was kind of thinking about that.
Just
too.
Why?
Why?
Why do this?
I would have fun. I know Earth is a mess. I don't need to have their perspective of that. I live here. I'm in the mess. Take me away from the mess.
Yeah.
Let's go see some shit. That's what I would do.
Yeah, let's go party.
Let's get out of here.
Let's do some alien DMT. Let's get real.
Let's get real. Let's just smoke some, what was it? Rick and Morty, some perspective enhancing drugs out of alien drugs out of a laser hookah.
Yeah,
laser hookah. That sounds awesome.
No, David.
I think I'd probably ask them to take me with them. Take me later. I think.
That's fair.
Just get me out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know who their leader is, David.
Well, take me to them.
They're probably doing a better job than what ours are.
What do you do then? And not necessarily. I mean, we know the whole teleporter system is all fucked up. There's some weird hierarchy going on over there. It could just be some corporate executive he takes you to, David.
Yeah, that takes you to the alien terrible. Jeff Bezos.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. And then what do you do?
Then I just work at Space Amazon for the rest of my life.
Try to unionize.
Yeah. Warehouse.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No.
You become one of the human slaves. Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's probably honestly what would happen. Oh, God.
But yeah, no, I would just ask to go on a trip. Be like, take me somewhere. Take me out of here for a little bit. Just a little while.
Yeah. I think my second, if we get to, I would ask for a spaceship, like a powerful fucking spaceship, so that
I can
enact my change and will upon the world.
Yeah.
I would like that.
That would be the irony if you ended up getting picked up as a hitchhiker by an alien.
That would be the ultimate. We've come full circle, folks.
Yeah, right. Like, David's life is complete now. Like, this is why
he's the hitchhiker now.
he paid all the karma up front by giving hitchhikers rides, and now he gets the best ride ever. Except they drop you off at some like galactic 7-Eleven, like, and you're just like, what, where the fuck am I?
Like, oh no, it'd be the end of Spaceballs, where like I ordered a special and then an alien burst out.
Hello my honey, hello my baby, hello my ragtime gal. What did he order? The special, check please.
No.
I love that movie.
Such a good one. All right. So, and our last one is another open-ended one. And hello. What are your feelings on Nostradamus?
Hello.
Is he a prophet? Could he see the future? Or was he just extremely lucky in his predictions?
Wasn't that the name of the ship in The Matrix, or is that something Nebuchadnezzar?
That's Nebuchadnezzar.
It. Yep. Okay. I don't know much about Nostradamus, but I mean, I do believe in the possibility to have future prophecies to some degree of accuracy. So,
yeah,
you know,
I've never sat down and read Nostradamus, but I've watched several things on Nostradamus that speculate that he could see the future. But a lot of them, like from what I understand, and as I said, I have not read, I should probably read the source material, but that there was just enough vagueness in some of like his statements and writings that would be allowed to be interpreted as like a prediction coming true, such as 9/11. That was a big one that Nostradamus predicted 9/11. And other events, but they're so vague, and he wrote so long ago that surely that some would have to line up as a coincidence, in my opinion. Now, he could have very well been, but that's just my take.
Yeah, I'm on board with that, because I mean, there's probably like a certain range of behavior that humans are capable of. So at some point, one of those statements is gonna happen.
Oh, like predictability. That makes sense.
Yeah,
it's an interesting way to look at it.
Just Andy, have you read a lot of them?
That's why I'm going last.
Okay.
Yeah. When you're ready for me to rant.
Yeah. So basically, my thing is I think, just from what I know and what I've watched, and like, no offense, but it just never really interested me enough for me to pick up. I went other ways with like prophecies and stuff like that. But Andy, go for it. That's why I saved this for last.
There was a guy on YouTube who actually claimed to be the reincarnation of him. I can't remember his name. And he dressed just like him, looked just like him, beard just like him, gave prophecies, all this stuff. The thing about Nostradamus, obviously it's written in riddles. The quatrains are encoded because he was writing at a time where he would have been murdered had he been, you know what I mean? Like, however he was receiving this information. So here's the thing, and this is why I wanted to go last. I actually have personal experience in this department. So as a diviner, you will probably fall into the trap it seems like a trap. Until you understand, I guess, or at least until I reached an understanding is how I should say this, of predicting the future. Because the temptation's always there once you start, you know, once you start down divining, right? Because you, of course, why wouldn't you, right? And I've read a lot of different prophecies over the years because I study mythology and religion so much. So end time prophecies, future predictions, these are always in every culture. So And divination is often probably how these same individuals, however they were doing it, whether it be drugs, channeling, tools, you know, like we use, they were probably all, and Nostradamus could have been doing the same thing, and he was just hiding it, you know, like many of the alchemists and other people did during those times. They encoded things so that they didn't get killed. John Dee, right? Like another one we've talked about, right? Who had to encode a lot of things and had, of course, he was a spy master, but you know, it was kind of natural for him probably. but so I put myself through more than a few unnecessary existential crises, by trying to predict the future. Now, what I found though, and what helped me develop my own theory on time, at least, or a working theory so far, it's, you know, like all theories, you just kind of keep testing it until you find a flaw and then you know, go back to the drawing board. But a lot of the events I would predict, the first thing you have to remember is it's all going to be based off probability, right? Because future timelines aren't fixed yet because they haven't happened from our perception. Okay. So I'm sure there are gods and beings of a magnitude that they are beyond time, and these kind of concepts are child's play to them. You know what I mean? Their consciousness, or you know, like holding predicting the probabilities of time of a one timeline occurring versus another, right? Because all of this is based off our actions, right? Our choices. So if you're trying to predict something, basically you're going to be predicting, especially if it's something big, like say something that affects the whole earth, you have to consider a lot of different variables for that calculation, right? Because chaos theory, right? Like one thing someone else does will ripple out and affect, you know, any number of other people and their lives and their choices. So that's where you're starting, which is a problem, because if you're going for events that big, like Nostradamus did, my belief is when he was making those predictions, it could have been true for the timeline he was in. Now, that was the most highly probable outcome, right? But he was predicting things that were very far in the future, right? So the probability could have been, I don't know, 10% or less. It could have been 3%, right? A 3% chance. But he doesn't know that necessarily, right? So it's what he's seeing is the current most likely outcome of this timeline, right? But again, I do think there is, you know, the whole idea that history rhymes, you know, or repeats, but rhymes is more accurate, right? So it repeats these same story structures over and over again. So there is some level of predictability, I believe. What I think it is I think there are certain points in time that I pulled the term from Doctor Who, but fixed points. So fixed points, in my view, are events that have to happen. Now, their nature can be expressed differently. A good example from mythology we're all familiar with would be Ragnarok or Armageddon or whatever the hell you want to call it, right? There's a term. It's like the elves we were talking about. There's a term for this event in every single religion. It's where, you know, there's this mass calamity, war, the gods are warring with each other, and then everything restarts. The matrix resets, right? So I do think it's possible that Nostradamus was predicting some of these fixed points or seeing some of these fixed points for the time he was in, but it's just that it was so far in advance. Had he been, say, maybe predicting things that would happen next week, he probably would have been a lot more accurate. Right, because the probability window has closed a lot more, right? Because it's closer to your present experience is my current theories / understanding. So is it possible to predict the events of the future? I do think you can, and maybe he was, but I don't think you can predict their nature until you get closer. The nature of how they're going to be expressed until you get closer. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like once those probability windows start to close, right? Once they start to cement and solidify and start to materialize and manifest in reality, right? Or, well, what we consider reality, but our perception is limited, but still. those are my theories, basically. I do think it's possible that he, it's not that he was necessarily wrong. It's that A, it's really hard to understand. And B, he may, just like Revelations or anything else, it may have been accurate for the time he was in that moment. But again, if you're predicting thousands of years ahead of time, you know, it's like anything else. If you're trying to, I don't know, throw a basketball across a football field to get it into a goal instead of doing it 3 feet away, right? Your probabilities of success are a lot higher if you're closer to the basketball goal. So, yeah. I don't know if I'm terrible with sports, but, you know, I just combined two of them into an analogy. You're welcome.
I mean, sports ball is all the same.
Sports ball. Honest. If you're playing sports ball and you have a field and there's a hoop on one end.
And a post on but the
one
other.
Day we're gonna, does that one work? Day, one day I'm going to have a guest on here that knows sports.
Does that work for you, Huntley? Does this analogy help you understand? No, I'm just kidding. Sports ball. You're welcome.
You've literally bastardized every ball. A sports with a ball. And there's multiple ones.
But that's my theories.
Yeah.
About Nostradamus and more.
Yeah. I can kind of understand that. But like, I took it from a skeptic's angle of just like, because of his riddles and just like, how it was messaged, you know, it'd be easy for somebody to pick apart things. Like, I remember this fucking stoner metal kid in high school used to read about Nostradamus, and this is, and maybe this is my
bias,
but I hated this kid. So
it's personal.
So it's personal, and he'd be like, he was trying to explain Nostradamus one day to a mutual friend, and I was just like, I don't see it. And then he started a really bad metal band.
As they all.
And that was the last straw for you.
Yeah. I think they even wrote
a song. You're dead to me.
I think they even wrote a song called Nostradamus.
Oh, God. Well, maybe his reincarnation heard it and appreciated it.
Maybe. Or he was just like, this is fucking terrible.
Yeah, it was just like, this is an atrocity. This is fucking
terrible. Why did
this after me?
I really regret coming up with these riddles and prophecies, because now I have these little jagoffs writing one finger riffs and just off key screaming.
It'd be so funny if that was actually him. He's just like watching the history. He like reaches enlightenment, wakes up, remembers his past lives, and he's just like watching History Channel. And it's just like, what the fuck did they do?
Yeah. What the fuck did they do with my, what'd they do to my baby boy?
And then just has complete like breakdown and existential crisis. Like, oh God, my previous life was such a fucking waste. I've done harm. I have brought harm to the world.
Yeah,
all I've done is make money for the History Channel.
I made money for the History Channel and stupid kids in cargo shorts.
I did used to watch those specials on the History Channel.
I think I watched once again, my bias probably. It wasn't until I was older and saw several on Hulu, the Nostradamus effect and shit like that. I was like, all right, I'll fucking watch it.
You've divined the future too. What's your opinions?
The greater topic, I'm kind of in the same line as you, because there's so much fluctuation in things that there's no way to get an accurate pinpoint.
Not 100%.
100%. Of anything, and especially when you're going years and years into the future and asking questions, it gets even more tricky.
So there's that, like the flow of kind of time and the events themselves, but there's also us, and we only have access to a limited spectrum of information too.
Yep.
So there's also that to consider. With that said,
same problem we talked about earlier. Yeah.
With
the elves.
I don't know. I get little like glimpses of like future events, but not in a controlled way. It's more like landmarkers. Like, this is like the road that I'm going down. And then every now and then I'll recognize a landmark and I'll be like, I saw that in a dream. Like
synchronicities.
Yeah. Synchronicities. Yeah.
Synchronicities.
Those really bad deja vus where you had a dream. It's not a normal deja vu. It's the ones you had the dream about and you then remember. Yeah. And you're like, oh shit. It just like pulls you out just for a moment. And you're like, oh fuck. I saw this and it didn't make any sense at the time. And then now you're like, okay, I've had, intense.
Yeah. So it's like, how do you like reconcile that? Like, how do you explain that? Like, that's such a fucking difficult thing to talk about. And
well, and they're always, for me, mundane things.
Yeah.
I don't know too. For you.
It's usually mundane like, for me too.
I was taking out the trash with a family friend that I hadn't seen in, like a decade. And then that... And I had that dream and I just wrote it off. And then that following Christmas, for whatever reason, he was invited and there and it was awesome. And we were taking out the trash together. And I just stopped and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, yeah. Yeah. Those will mess with you. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever had any, when you were like, any psychedelic experiences that resulted in anything like that?
I'm curious. Yeah, those increased in frequency when I was really into DXM for
Nick's.
Same. Anytime I was doing hardcore drugs, well, not hardcore drugs, but like more than weed, synchronicities. Right. Yeah, hallucinogens.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Hardcore drugs. The only thing that made me do was want to like party and do stupid shit. There was nothing introspective about it.
I don't know. With me, I'm
like the opposite approach when I first started, for better or worse.
And so many of my future visions, if you call them that, are in dream state. That's for sure. But not all of them. I've gone into like daydream states and had the same thing happen. So I do think it's like divining, but you're just doing it without a tool. You are the tool. You're the channeler of this information, right? For whatever reason, your spirit's picking out this point in time, I guess. I don't, you know, maybe there's a reason there, right? Maybe the circumstances or the people you're with or something matters, obviously. Otherwise, why would you see some mundane, meaningless event, right? Unless it's something there that matters, I think. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fucking time, man.
Fucking time.
Fucking time. That's one thing I've been obsessed with for a long time, just because the number of mistakes I made along the way. But it's the only way you get better at something, so I guess, you know. I've put together theories and ideas and systems essentially to try to kind of like apply this to reality. I hate using that word now, because it's like my definition of reality has gotten it's gotten so broad too now. I'm just like, I don't even know.
I posted a picture in the Discord.
Okay.
That's not what I expected.
Oh, no. That's not what I expected either. I like his pants, though.
Yeah, the pants, dude. They're like fucking leggings.
Mm-hmm.
Just, okay. Okay.
Belphegor. We're just calling him Crepitus for now.
Crepitus.
He's a Scatomancer. Well, he's a Scatomancer. Clearly.
Well,
next version of D&Z, there's going to be a Scatomancer class.
Yeah.
Cacodemons. You can summon your summoner. Mm-hmm. Just summon shit demons. A toilet just appears and just vomits out a shit demon.
Yeah.
Oh no, the wizard themselves like just shits out the demons like that.
Oh, he just shits it spells. Out.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's a lot easier to produce. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a high fiber diet. You know, like this guy probably does too. Yeah.
Well, I really don't have anything else, and I have to take a piss really bad.
David's just shaking his head. He's like, "Oh my god."
So
I like how we brought it back. Yeah. We're like talking about advanced time predictions, and now we're like, and back to farting on people's faces.
Yeah. Yeah. Because. So yeah, we will end on that note. We will end on the low bar instead of the high bar.
Good. That sounds about right.
Yeah. right. Well, thank you for being a premium subscriber and have a good night.